Welcome back, everybody. I know it's been a little while. I have a really cool guest today. I'm so excited to have Nadine Artemis on the show. She is the owner and creator of Living Libations. Her website is livinglibations.com. And Nadine has given me and my listeners a 5% discount on all of the products in her store. So at the end of the podcast, I will go ahead and give you that coupon code. But Nadine is a fascinating woman, and I'm going to read her bio. But I fell in love with Nadine on a podcast about 2 years ago called the Rewild Yourself podcast. And I just loved everything she had to say. First of all, she's an expert in essential oils and plant medicine, but I fell in love with what she had to say about sun and sunscreen, as well as oral care. And so that's what we're going to focus on today is the oral care. But let me give you her bio. Living Libations was created by Nadine Artemis, beauty philosopher, aromacologist, and botanical muse, shaping plant intelligence into palpable consecrations to blush senses and muse imaginations. Living Libations is a line of serums, elixirs, and essential oils that nurture beauty, enhance the immune, and promote healthy oral care. Nadine is the author of Holistic Dental Care, The Complete Guide to Healthy Teeth and Gums, which you should all get. It is a great book. Nadine's official biography begins when she first combines flasks of essential oils to recreate Nina Ricci's L'Air de Ton perfume for a school science fair. These botanical inclinations led her on a petal-pathed adventure in creating organic beauty balms, reviving elixirs, healing oral care, and perfumed poetry to quench the natural yearnings. Nadine opened North America's first full-concept aromatherapy store, Osmosis, in 1994. Since that day, Nadine has since received glowing reviews for her formulations in The Hollywood Reporter, Flair, The New York Times, Vogue, and The National Post. Nadine has also addressed gatherings at conferences and appeared on television and radio shows. And Nadine has written a little bit of her own bio that just reads like poetry, so I just want to read a little bit to you. There was once a girl with a wild look in her eye and a smile that reached from the tip of her cheek to the tips of her cheeks. She cleaned up nice, yet her dress was a mess with pockets full of acorns and twigs, and there was always a curl that longed to unfurl. Entranced by the galaxy in a patch of grass, she wondered if lightning was poured from a glass. Is every flower a flask of fun? Is the petal of a flower, the spoon of some great perfume? Is there a great pantry filled with ladles of moonbeams and goblets of sun? Is bark the bottle of a tree that holds the secret sap for a scraped knee? And so she asked on to eternity. On to infinity. Anyway, it kind of goes on and on. She has this great little bio, and she has this amazing line of essential oils, and you simply must check out her website and her lessons on oral care. She has lots of videos and all of her amazing elixirs and skincare, oral care, all made from plant medicine. No inactive ingredients, no fillers, nothing unnatural. Everything has a purpose in her products. So today I'd love to introduce you to Nadine Artemis, and it is a fabulous podcast talking about oral care. And be sure to wait till the end of the podcast where I give you a 5% coupon to livinglibations.com. Thanks for joining me, guys. Enjoy the podcast. Well, Nadine, let's start with, first of all, thank you so much for being on my podcast. I'm totally honored. And yes, and I know you're quite famous, and I have been learning more about you as I have been studying you a little bit more. But yeah, tell me how you got from that high schooler who created that or replicated that L'Air de Ton perfume to where you are today, which is just that botanical medicinal guru that you are.
Well, yeah, I mean, it was, it's neat now because I have a little bit of hindsight in my life, so I can really see how, all the little, these sort of like what seem like almost just breadcrumbs or pin drops of moments in my life that may have seemed like insignificant at the time, but I can really see how it shaped my current reality. So besides, making that perfume in grade 9, and as a child, I was just totally in love with the forest and outside and playing. And I think in our teenage years, sometimes we can, leave that, like you can kind of separate a bit from nature as you're busy with school and all that. But it was a neat journey. So I did the project. I had learned about essential oils for that project. because this book had fallen out at the library when I was thinking what to do for the science fair. And it was about making cosmetics, and it was geared towards a younger audience. So it was very easy to understand. And it talked about the history of perfume. And I had, in my bathroom, meanwhile, there was tons and tons and every perfume possible. I was the youngest in my family, so I got hand-me-downs from my older sister and my mom. And we, you know, we had traveled to Europe that summer, and they had tiny replica bottles, not just the vials of perfumes. They had like tiny little, so I collected everything. I'd been to a perfume museum in France, this very tiny, it's the Frogois Museum, and it talks about, you know, it has all the like aromatic tools, and it talks about perfume through antiquity. So then reading this book and just seeing like, they talked about how perfumes were made and that they were made from something that is available today called essential oils. And so that was really an interesting moment for me because I didn't, you know, especially back then, you didn't really know how that smell was being made. And so then it was just connecting it to the plant world. At that age, I still didn't totally understand the difference between like synthetics and natural. But when I'd gone to the health food store with my mom, it was like smelling ylang ylang and orange blossom for the first time. It was like a real olfactory light bulb went off in my head. And it was just to smell those aromas was such a small moment, but a huge moment, because it was so different from the perfumes I had been smelling. And I could smell the difference, but I still wasn't intellectually comprehending everything. Having that I was just fascinated by things that were in bottles and mixing them. And then a more natural concept came out with the Body Shop. So I thought that seemed cool. And it seemed closer to nature. But then when I was at university, I deeply went into, I was like cooking for myself. I was living on my own. And I was really more in touch with food then. And I happened to just see this show on Donahue with Lisa Bonet and Raul Julia. And it was called, they were talking about a book called Diet for New America. And that was a real groundbreaking moment because I was understanding how food was really connected to our health and environment. And then there was a book about taking you through the supermarket and really reading labels. And it was through understanding, you know, all brand was, you know, filled with weird fibers and not the healthy choice, you know, the healthiest cereal. And that, you know, it's just really understanding there was somewhere else to go besides the supermarket for food. And so through that obsession with reading those labels, then I really took a look at my body care and I read those labels and I looked at those ingredients and I realized that the pineapple face wash never saw pineapple, that the cucumber face toner was just alcohol with artificial fragrance. And so from that moment forward, I was making my own food. I was only going to the farmer's market, buying organic, and I began to, so I never ate processed food again, and I never bought skincare from another company again, because I started making my own as I went through university. And then I would make formulas for friends and family, and it was really well loved. So as I'm doing my university studies, which is neat because I was really I was into women's studies, and I was, you know, our textbooks were like our bodies ourselves. So I was reading about IUD, birth control. I did interviewed midwives for a project. I was doing papers on looking at factory farming and female, like the female animals and how, you know, like all the devastation to their hormones, and then connecting that with the hormones that were put on for like birth control and hormone replacements therapy. So I was also going into that and looking at childbirth and all these things, which were really connected to health, exploring health on my own. And then I was gathering, it was such a deep time of learning at university and then also learning on my own about ingredients and raw materials. And I had relatives in Europe sending me old books on formulations and perfumery I was really focused on the 18th century, because that was sort of that last century before the advent of synthetics, before plant life got divided, because up until that time, plants were the pharmacy. There was a renaissance in the 1800s that also looked back to the antiquity cultures of Greco-Roman cultures and Egyptian cultures, and looking at how they prepared cosmetics and then bringing that information forward. So that was sort of the last moment before synthetics got in the way. And there was really amazing books then that, you know, had been reprinted since then. And so that was fascinating. And then I was also really looking at the quality of essential oils. There was a great book written by Henri Vivaud, which was exploring for the first time, really laying out the modern quality. So that was that was a more modern book. So I was gathering all this information. And then I was also writing to different consulates and agriculture. I was finding distillers in all different countries. And then I was while I was at university making my own formulas, I was importing, first getting samples of essential oils, because once I would read about it in a book, I had to smell it. So I had to get Immortelle and Angelica, and they were not at the health food store at the time. So then I was smelling these fascinating aromas, and I wanted to replicate things because I wanted to just feel like, through aroma, what was it about the ancient Egyptian kaifi that was like enamoring people? And so I was trying to make the modern equivalent. And if an ingredient wasn't available anymore on the planet through extinction or something like that, I was looking for the modern equivalents because I was really wanting to recreate and try and like try on that era of history. So I was doing all that. And then I was bringing in oils also that I'd never heard of, like Baronia or Raven Sarah. And so I just sort of naturally started importing quantities of essential oils as well, because I couldn't get them. And so I started buying them and then even just selling those. And I started, while I was at university, a company called Artemis Essentials. And that was really well received. So that was just fun to get a feel of like making formulations and then having the beginning of a business. So then I finished my degree, but in that last year, I was just like, I got to finish because I knew what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was to open up a store with a perfume bar and a blending bar. So just I graduated in April, and then 6 months later, I opened up North America's first aromatherapy concept store on Queen Street in Toronto. It was called Osmosis, and it was a very unique store. And then, you know, I ran with that, and that was such a neat place. Met lots of amazing people, and that was a fascinating time.
Oh, that's a fascinating story. I love it. You were just passionate from the beginning. I love that. I want to go into the other parts that I really, really love. Part of my audience and what I do and my passion is working with families and improving kids' health. And as you well know, the future of this next generation there's a few issues with the upcoming their health issues that they're going to be facing. And two of my passions are ones that you talk a lot about. And I'd love to go into oral care, because I believe that is now and is down the road going to continue to be a big issue in the health of our children. And so I wanted you to tell the story of how you got more from the, you know, sort of aromatherapy into some of these more health conditions. Tell us about your story. I believe maybe you started off healing one of your own cavities. Tell me all about how you got into oral care.
For sure. So I was, you know, through that university period and the beginning of opening my store, I was deeply into, you know, looking at all things holistically. And, but one thing I was neglecting was my teeth, because, you know, you come out of your parents' nest, you're responsible for your own dental appointments. And I was also a young entrepreneur. So, you know, going to the dentist was not exciting for a number of reasons. And it never was that fun as a child either. So I, you know, I probably hadn't gone to the dentist in quite a few years. And I finally went. I found a holistic dentist, although in retrospect, they weren't that holistic, but the hygienist was. So, you know, she said you had the beginning of a cavity, but that we could look at, you know, healing that. And, which was a totally new concept for me. Cause I, like most people, you just think you've got your teeth, they're formed. And then, if something happens, then you just fill it. And, you didn't really think of it being connected to the rest of your body. And it really, and all the health stuff about the body, there was always a huge lack of information about the teeth, right? So everything was being explored about body functions, but not the teeth. So she said, why don't you just go home and mix it with some of the, that stuff, whatever you do, and put it in your mouth. And I was like, hey, that's a great idea. So she said, we can do an x-ray now, and then we can look at that in about 6 months' time. So that's what I formed. I didn't call it that right away, but that was, which is now the Happy Gum Drops. And so I just would massage it, because also my, you know, my gums even, you know, it was just when you don't get a cleaning for a while, you just have like tender gums and a few different issues. So I did that. And I really turned around the health of my mouth to the fact that, you know, because they thought I would have to get like cleanings every 3 months to catch up. But I turned around the whole like environment, and we did an x-ray in the cavity and it had gone away.
Oh, that's fabulous.
So I found that fascinating. So I would floss, I would put the drops on my floss, I would put it on my gums, and I would brush with it. And I was brushing with baking soda as well to give a bit of a grip. A bit of a scrubbing. And so that was like the beginning of that. And I found that fascinating. And then I really endeavored to get every book I could on dental health. And again, there still wasn't a lot. So I just kept experimenting with my own formulas. And then I guess it was now 10 years. That was a while ago. That was when I was like 22. But then, you know, I really kept going into my research, and then I was really gathering a lot of, you know, older dental books with mixed with current dental books. And I found a lot of it was dealing with a lot of the big issues like mercury, which is awesome and needs to be done. But I found there was a lack in the daily care. Like, what do we do at home? Not when we're getting to a big decision, like let's not have a silver filling put in, but what are we doing daily so that we can prevent making these decisions in the future? So that's when I wrote my book, Successful Self-Dentistry, which was picked up by a publisher. And then, you know, I tweaked it a bit and then published it under. So that is now available as Holistic. I can't remember the name. Holistic Dental Care, The Complete Guide to Healthy Teeth and Gums. And that's now available in 5 languages. And is a popular book. It's just a really simple book about what we can do on a daily level. And really in, you know, I'm not a dentist, which I think is kind of the fun part of the book, because we all have teeth and we all want to be able to take care of our teeth. And then when we go to the visit to the dentist once or twice a year, we're hoping that we're going to have better results. But we needed to empower ourselves to understand how we're going to take care of our teeth through diet and daily care. And so, yeah, like the teeth, of course, are such a litmus test, so to speak, for what is going on in our body, or if it isn't healthy in our mouths, how that can affect the rest of our body. So the connection is deep. And so I really go into that and bringing forward to our common culture some rare studies that, you know, were kind of only read by dentists.
Endocrinologists.
Thank you so much. That's awesome. And things like the rare dentineal lymph fluid. So that was from Hal Huggins is a maverick dentist that's been telling us about mercury filling since 1963. He has a number of books out. I found one of his older books called Why Raise Ugly Kids? And it's about a few things, and there's one dental chapter in there, and in one page, just one page of that book, he talks about meeting Dr. Ralph Steinman, and he says his meeting with him just blew away his whole dentist school, like all of his knowledge from dentist school. I remember him sort of saying like a sandcastle being washed away by the ocean, because what Steinman found. So he was a dentist practicing in the 50s, and it was really in the 1940s that it was decided. There was a few theories. There was one theory that there's a whole systemic connection with our teeth in the body, and then there was the acidogenic theory of decay, which is acid and sugar on the teeth make cavities. But so then at that point in the 40s, the systemic connection was kind of put aside. But he kind of re-looked at that and re-examined that. And he was fascinated by dental texts from the 1800s that were like kind of alluding to, they thought there was a connection. I mean, now it seems so obvious. They're in our heads, they're in our bodies. So he found that connection. And also every year in August, he would suffer with allergies so great, he had to not practice dentistry. And then he found a book that was suggesting to not, you know, eat dairy and white, you know, the white bread and white sugar. So he went off that, cleared up his allergies. So that just gave him the understanding that, wow, you know, we really are, it's connected to what we eat. And he stopped actually practicing dentistry and went right into dental research because he wanted to find what he wanted to prove what he was reading in those older books about a fluid and a systemic connection. So he practiced at Loma Linda University. And he conducted thousands of tests. And what he found was that there was indeed a dentineal lymph fluid system. And this is really key to understanding everything about our mouths. And so I think of it as the foundation and the root thing to understand. So what he found was there's a lymphatic fluid that is activated by our hypothalamus, which, of course, right? Everything goes back to the hypothalamus as being one of the master glands. And that communicates to our parotid glands, which are in our mouth. And the parotid glands get activated by nutrients and substrates and chewing. And then that sends a fluid messaging system, which activates the dentineal lymph system, which goes, you know, down to the stomach, and then that flows up to the teeth. So it takes... It only takes a few minutes for the stomach to flow that up to the tooth. And here's an interesting part. Then within the tooth, from the root system to the enamel, it takes an hour. So it takes longer from the root tooth to the enamel of the tooth. That journey takes the longest, even though that's the shortest in length. And so just like tree roots, our teeth have roots. And then that draws up the nutrients into the pulp chamber. And then, and at that point, it's blood that the root's drawing up. And then it becomes a clear dentineal lymph fluid that works with the odontoblasts, which are this like bone cells. There's a pump in there, and then it pumps it out through up to the enamel and out onto the surface of the enamel like microscopic sweat. And then that fluid intermingles with our oral microbiome and our saliva to protect teeth. And that's the fluid. It's like this upward spiraling motion. It's a toroidal action that happens in the center of our tooth. So then why we get cavities, the genesis of cavities is when we don't have the nutrients, we're lacking minerals, and our blood sugar levels are affected. So again, that's not about the sugar sitting on the tooth. It's about sugar in our blood. When those things are lacking, then what happens is that this dentineal flow reverses and our teeth become like straws sucking in bacteria and fungus from the mouth. And then because it's like a straw, so it's the reverse thing happens. And then that is how a cavity forms. Mm-hmm. So when we stop this process and we reverse it back to the natural flow and we have our saliva alkaline and mineralized, the saliva also goes to these vulnerable areas in the teeth, and then they can work to heal it when they're provided with the right environment and the right nutrients. And through that, we understand that our teeth are a living system in the body. And just as our bones are alive underneath our flesh, the teeth are as well. And so that also gives us hope to go, okay, we can change the ecology in our mouths.
Absolutely. It definitely gives us hope. I've done a lot of this similar research, and I've read your book, and I just find this so fascinating. And, you know, we talk so much about, like you say, sugar on top of the teeth and acid on top of the teeth. And, you know, I know what sugar does inside of our bodies. And when I learned this about the teeth, it was yet another reason, you know, even if you bypass the teeth and put sugar directly into the stomach, which I believe one of these, either Steinman or one of them actually did, you bypass the teeth and put sugar right in the stomach, you set up the environment for cavities, which is just, it just blows us away. I mean, and like you say, it gives you hope because teeth aren't just stones in our heads. They are living and they can heal. So yeah, I absolutely love it.
But what I found fascinating is that the Steinem research then connected, I thought, further proof to the whole Weston Price thing, because Steinem would do exercises studies where he would see, okay, now if we just add in like magnesium and like some other minerals back into the diet, even if we didn't, and he didn't reduce the sugar, even cavities then dropped. And then with Weston Price, we're like learning about the fat soluble vitamins, vitamin D and vitamin K, which he called Activator X, which everybody now is assuming is vitamin K. And what we learn about those vitamins is that we need those because they are, they usher in the minerals into the bones. So if we are eating a lot or taking calcium supplements, but we don't have vitamin D3 and K2 in our bodies, then we get a buildup of calcium in the blood serum because we don't have those vitamins ushering in the minerals into the bones where we need it. So that's a really key thing. And then what I also found is that his work also hooked up with the work of Melvin Page, I think, Melvin somebody. And so he had studied the phosphorus ratios and the blood sugar ratio. So he found that when the blood sugar changed, that's when cavities started. And then, Weston Price found when we didn't have these fat soluble vitamins, that's when cavities started. And that when the fat solubles were put back into the body, you could either, arrest decay or reverse decay. And so the great thing now, though, wasn't for the first release of my book, but there is now on Amazon, you can buy a book on the dental, I think they call it the dentineal fluid transport. And it's the collection of all the Steinem and Leonora studies. So you can give that link to your dentist and he won't be able to deny it because it is so much like that, because the teeth are porous. And that's the whole point, is that there's this, nutrient, information on that body level, the communication and information and nutrient information that goes into the teeth and does come back out to coalesce with the surface of the enamel and the saliva. And that's a very key part for the dentineal lymph fluid.
Absolutely. So we've got the actual flow that's sort of flushing the tooth in a way as well, not allowing bacteria and acids to go inside. So there's the physical flushing, but then there's also what's in that lymph that's nourishing the teeth.
Yes, and communicating with the saliva. And that I call that the invisible toothbrush. And because, again, I also think, well, we weren't born with a toothbrush in our hands. So I know we do have to, we can wash our face now with oil and put on beautiful oils, or we can brush our teeth with baking soda and kind of take body care up to like a new simple level. But I always start with my investigation and my curiosity to like, what if we have nothing? What's the body's innate intelligence to maintain this system all on its own?
Right. Because we do hear stories of, well, especially like Weston A. Price or people that were traveling at that time that said that some of these people had no cavities, beautiful white teeth, except that they were covered in slime, right?
So they
probably weren't doing much other than maybe chewing on branches or, I don't know, somehow maybe scraping their teeth every now and then. So let's talk a little bit about the topical treatment then. So we've got this beautiful invisible toothbrush. So where does the oral care and topical care come in, and how I know that they coalesce with the saliva and that the saliva needs to be alkaline. Talk a little bit more about that sort of, I guess, the outside part of the oral care.
Yeah. So, and I do, I also think we have in a way some catching up to do or some undoing, because sometimes, what's creating an imbalance in the oral microbiome, because that's, and then what we can put on top of all of that is the oral microbiome. And the study of the microbiome is pretty new in the sense that it's really been, I think it was alluded to before, but we finally all got it as like a scientific community in the past 10 years. And so this is what's also really important to know. So we want to allow the diet and the body systems to, create a good oral ecology for us. But what I see as the current modern day triple threat to our mouths are the harmful procedures. So, you know, things like root canals, mercury fillings, and then the lack of understanding about the tooth nurturing dentineal fluid, because pretty much, you know, 99% of all dentists have never heard of that. And so they're not thinking in terms of that at all. And if they did think in terms of that, then I think we would have, you know, a different approach to oral care. And then we've got this sort of what I think of as this periodontal scorched earth policy on bacteria, which also comes out of the 40s, sort of this warfare on germs, which through understanding the microbiome, we realize that that whole thing is really an outdated mode of thinking. So that kind of trifecta creates a perfect periodontal storm that then fosters things like endodontic entropy, dental decay, and a system that's really created some Band-Aid solutions for things like bleaching, gum grass, veneers, and fillings. So on one level, and I'm speaking very generally right now, but our, you know, our trip through the dental aisle at the drugstore and most likely many trips to the dentist, all of those things in a general standard way are really messing with our mouth's microbiome, whether it's the dental alcohol-filled dental mouthwash with, or the toothpaste with triclosan, or the fluoride treatment at the dental office. All of that is literally mutating and sometimes just full on eradicating very important bacteria that we need to have in our mouths, or adding to some kind of crazy thing like a root canal, which even on a textbook perfect root canal that doesn't seem to be causing an issue for the person, because some people can have root canals and then it's like, oh, it's still not quite right, and they still have a lot of issues and inflammation. So that's kind of an obvious unsuccessful root canal. But what we also now know through independent lab tests and different research and studies is that even a textbook perfect root canal, once they extract those and they look perfect on an x-ray and they've had dentists go, yeah, that root canal is perfect, they will extract those. And when they test those, they find severe bacteria in each and every single one. Some are worse than others, but that's where they find really strange bacteria like Lyme, syphilis, leprosy, like some diseases that we thought weren't there. So when we have a root canal, we're kind of creating this necrotic nest that is continually putting in pathogenic bacteria into our bloodstream. And for some, their immune system can handle it. For some, they can't. So what we've got going on are all those issues that are really messing with the ecological balance of our mouths, you know, from even simpler, so I talked about triclosan, but even like the sudsy surfactants of sodium lauryl sulfate in just a common toothpaste, which could even be in a health food store brand. Then we've got a lot of things trying to be solved through antibiotics, like, oh, I've got bleeding gums or a gum infection. Okay, let's give you antibiotic mouthwash or an antibiotic paste. Then we're eating meals with glyphosates and pesticides. We've got root canals festering. We've got, you know, the metallic mass of mercury, and mercury really throws off a bacterial balance. It also creates things like receding gums. Then other metals that could be in our mouths, from titanium post to nickel from braces, they've all scorched the sort of hive intelligence of the bacteria in our oral environment. And so what's happening is that defoliation of the flora in our mouths is making extinct and then mutating the microbes and then creating really radical ecological shifts to the oral microbiota. And then that also gives rise to bleeding gums, gingivitis, halitosis, thrush, cavities, cankers, and that whole thing. So that's a, you know, a huge issue. And so what also we now know is that healthy mouths are home and our bodies, right? We're always going to have pathogens in our bodies. But we want to have sort of like apply the 80-20 rule. We're hoping to have, and I'm speaking very general, like you want to have about 80% good bacteria doing the work and keeping the pathogenic bacteria sort of under control. Mm-hmm. And same with our mouths. It's like the microcosm of our bodies and our mouths. And so even a healthy mouth can have Streptococcus mutans bacteria, for example. And that is, you know, that's one of the bacteria that can be harmful and create cavities, strep, right? Streptococcus. And so what we now researchers are understanding is that what's maybe making strep more lethal is that it's missing its ancestral balance. It's missing its bacterial buddies. So it's missing the bacterial friends that can kind of put it in its place. And so when things like that happen, then we get, we form more biofilms, which can be throughout the body, but obviously in the mouth. And dental plaque is a biofilm that blocks the teeth from breathing. And that prevents the saliva and the dentineal lymph from doing its job. So that's creating, like, I mean, there's a whole cluster of issues just from looking at that one area. So again, we do normally have pathogens in our body, and they're usually like free floating, like plankton in the ocean. But when they grow in numbers through different, you know, factors like heavy metals, diet, you know, viruses, that kind of thing, then they're able to gain traction in their communication. And then that enables them to colonize into a biofilm, and their communication of the pathogens is called quorum sensing. And so quorum sensing is how the pathogens communicate to coordinate their group behavior and regulate gene expression. And so what a biofilm really is just a colony of a densely packed microbes. And then they adhere to the internal surfaces like our tooth. And then the biofilm is further surrounded by a sticky plaque secretion. And then that secretion forms a barrier around the biofilm that makes it even more impenetrable. And pretty much most of the time, it's impenetrable to an antibiotic. So then you may be taking antibiotics that aren't really going to be doing anything except further mutating and eradicating your whole microbiome system from your guts to your mouth. So then you're more susceptible to oral disease and all that kind of stuff. But the cool thing is, because antibiotic resistance is real and a serious thing that quite, you know, normal worlds of medicine and farming and pharmacology and the whole thing, they're really looking at it because they know it's a really massive issue. So a lot of research right now is focusing on inhibiting quorum sensing and finding quorum sensing inhibitors. And what's really exciting for me, because it brings together my whole world, is that there's a lot of exciting research that's revealed essential oils as successful inhibitors of quorum sensing. And it's cool because back in 1992 or around there, I mean, it was 94, 96, I read a book, I think it was Michael Schmidt. I may have his name wrong, but it was called Beyond Antibiotics, I believe. Anyway, that was really cool too, because he was talking about using, you know, essential oils for ear infections and, you know, bringing together the research that essential oils are antibiotic, antifungal and antiviral. You know, we knew that at the time, but it was just further research. And now we have this new layer. And so what's so cool is that, you know, all the things that I was working with back in the day when my hygienist said, go home and just use the stuff that you're working with at home in your mouth. And then all the dental care stuff that I've created, and now we're seeing and really it's based on a lot of the ingredients I use are ones that have been used for thousands of years in many different cultures at different times for their oral care. Like frankincense resin has been chewed, and mastic and myrrh, they've all been used for oral care. Things like neem, cardamom, a lot of the digestive herbs are chewed and then swallowed because then they have a real symbiosis, being digestive in the mouth, being totally connected. Things like rose and tea tree and peppermint and thyme and clove and cinnamon, oregano, like all these really classic oral care herbs and oils and resins. Now we have the studies that show that they're very effective at anti-infective activity that can clean up the biofilms, clean up the strep, but they get to coexist with the good bacteria. So they're able to clean up the periodontal pathogens rather than obliterating all the bacteria. They're able to just look at the pathogens. Again, this is plant intelligence, and we don't always know the whys of how it was all created and why it's working. But studies are confirming that the essential oils, they just disturb the pathogens, but they're able to work harmoniously with the good bacteria.
That's amazing. So, It's amazing. I love that. And what's so fascinating too is, like you were just saying, it's been about 10 years that more research has been in modern science, and even some doctors are starting to realize the importance of the microbiome in the gut. But this, the mouth now, is the new frontier, where they haven't quite gotten there, but it is a mirror image really of, like you say, the carpet bombing. You know, we've talked about that with antibiotics in the gut, and we're starting to realize we don't want to carpet bomb the gut. But now we're all these onslaughts to the mouth, we're doing exactly the same thing. So it's just kind of that next frontier from the gut. And so we want to remove some of these things that are carpet bombing and disturbing the DNA, and then switch to some of the essential oils that you say work so intelligently with the mouth. And then they also prevent the plaque, which is fabulous. Is it, so do we want to go, we want to prevent plaque. Do we want to go to the dentist though and clear off that plaque so that the tooth can breathe better? Or is the goal, I guess, preventing plaque? And I mean, not that we never are going to go to the dentist, but how do we kind of move forward from here?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah, a few things there. I mean, I implore people to really seek out a holistic dentist and hygienist. And on our website, I do have articles about, like, you know, 10 questions, or I don't know how many questions, but questions to ask prospective dentists. Because also with even people that claim they're holistic, sometimes they're just removing mercury and then sending you on your way with some carrot juice. And that's lovely, but there's a lot of deep work that we need. And so that is key, because you don't need to be arguing with anybody. You want to be working with somebody that's going to be doing a lot of informed consent and working with your body in the way that you choose. So that would be key. Also, if you haven't been for a cleaning or the dentist in a while, I highly suggest really picking up your game, upgrading your game with your mouth for about 3 months in advance, so that you have a less expensive visit, you have better results with your visit, and you really set the tone. Because also if you haven't cleaned for a while, you can really be releasing a lot of stuff, and it can be a challenge to your immune system. There are some statistics that, you know, especially with quite older people, like, you know, I don't have the stats in front of me, but when, like, some people like 80, you know, 80 years or get their mouth cleaned and then they happen to die a week later, it has been connected to the release of the bacteria from the biofilms. So I think on a younger, you know, healthier body, we're able to deal with that more. But there, you know, we got to really think about that, our making our immune system strong and really harmonizing our oral environment. So obviously that's rare, but I'm just saying, like, it's, our mouth is really important. And, you know, dental plaque has shown to really contribute to heart disease and that kind of thing. So that's why there's a heart doctor, Sinatra, that talks about, you know, why flossing can add like a few years to your life, because you're not letting that plaque go into other areas of the body. So I have something, steps that I've set up called 8 steps for successful self-dentistry. And I highly recommend doing those twice a day for 3 months before you go to the dentist. Unless it's an emergency and you need to go for another, you know, another reason, but that will create a lot better results. And then I've also recently created something I call Stop, Seal, and Seed, which is something that I take up because in my line of work and research, the microbiome is a huge player. Because I care a lot about women's health, so I've done a lot of research. And in my new book, I have a chapter on the vaginal microbiome. Mm-hmm. Then we've got the oral microbiome, and then a huge segment on the skin's microbiome. Because those are, you know, and of course the gut microbiome will affect, you know, the vagina, the mouth, and the skin. So we really need to harmonize that. So the Stop, Seal, Seed, you could apply to, you know, area, even the vagina and the skin. For now, though, we'll focus on the mouth. And the first thing is to just stop. Like, stop using the things that are messing with your mouth. So looking to stop spikes in blood sugar that create insulin resistance, stop mouth breathing. So that might be something you have to assess with medications, sinus health, cranial balance. So if you're breathing with your mouth all night, open all night long, you're affecting your saliva at a huge level. And when your saliva is not all happy and sort of lubricating your mouth all the time, that can also create cavities. And for children, I talk about it in my brace article. I have one on this website and the one in the book And then there's even links to, you can find it when you're looking up things like myofacial therapy, but, it's fascinating because if kids are mouth breathing, it literally changes the structure of how their faces are when they're adults. Like they would have had a different face shape, and their teeth will be, if you don't mouth breathe, you will have straighter teeth.
That's fascinating.
Which adds a whole other layer to the Western place information.
I know, that's amazing. And yeah, and so like you say, that's a whole nother level, but maybe checking with a functional orthodontist or your ear, nose,
and
throat
and
specialist, something like that to get
I hope I have it right, but there's oral myofacial therapy, and a lot of them are doing like Skype consults and stuff, because I mean, obviously that's a rare, they're not going to be in every town. I believe you can look, just look that up. I think there's a society and different things. So there is help out there, and it can help with you definitely don't want to be mouth breathing for a whole bunch of reasons, not just your mouth. So it is something that is a good thing to address if that's happening. And then there's, you want to heal and see a leaky guts. Like, so you got to look at possibly eliminating things like gluten and corn and glyphosates from your diet. You want to really look at stopping phytic acid consumption, because phytic acid is actually an anti-nutrient. It's in like a lot of beans and nuts. And so that can really plunder phosphorus in the body, and phosphorus is key to bone health and teeth health. So one thing that, it can be done is soaking and fermenting non-gluten grains and nuts. And beans to help reducing an anti-nutrient. So it's like a food chemical that is the opposite of a nutrient. And again, it can be kind of hidden, because in a lot of, health, I mean, I've had definitely huge like years where I've been very macrobiotic, or, I've definitely done every health food, trend to find out where I've always eaten organic, non-processed food for over 20 years, but I have gone through the different phases of, finding my balance within that. And so I think on a lot of, healthy vegetarian diets, you can be having, oats and lentils and rice like 3 times a day, and that, and then not eating a lot of fats, especially if you're raw vegan. And so that can be a setup for looking at some dental issues. And then we want to remove mercury fillings. Be sure to get a mercury literate dentist, not just somebody that's like, oh, great, here's a job. You want to have to have all the proper protocols. Even one side of the mouth has to be done before the other side, because there's electrical currents. So you want to ask that they have gone through and learned the Hal Huggins protocol. And also there's a whole thing that goes on with heavy metals and microbes. So the microbe pathogens love metals in the body. It's like a food, like Dr. Hal Huggins called it, like they eat it for breakfast. He called it the marriage of metals and microbes. So, and also it does cause recession of gums and a number of other issues. And then we want to look at eliminating microbe mutators from things like excessive antibiotics, glyphosates, fluoride, triclosan, and toothpaste, and then stop using synthetic dental care products. There's labels that say maybe harmful if swallowed. That category of dental products, we want to probably stop using. They offer the illusion of freshness, but disturb oral ecology. So things like sodium lauryl sulfate, surfactants, glycerin. Glycerin prevents the mouth from breathing. It prevents that communication with the saliva, artificial sweeteners, trisodium phosphate, and even xylitol. A lot of them also, that a lot of xylitol paste contains synthetic ingredients. And the studies about xylitol helping cavities or preventing was done by the xylitol, association. There's a proper name for that. But when an independent 2-year study was done, it showed zero reduction in cavities.
Oh, wow. So it doesn't not feed the bacteria. I guess that was the finding, is that it can starve the bacteria.
Yeah, that doesn't seem to have a lot of validity. Thank you. And it may be fine as a sweetener, but then there are other researches showing it could contribute to things like leaky guts or softening of the blood-brain barrier. So, so it's maybe not the be-all that we wanted it to be.
So maybe xylitol gum here and there might be okay, but don't go out and try to get xylitol in your diet.
Yeah, I don't think we want to be adding too much of it, especially if the things with the guts are true, because then, you know, we got to have those guts sealed.
Absolutely.
Which is the next part, which is seal. So we got stop, seal. So bleeding, receding, inflamed gums are usually a sign of bacterial imbalance and that bacteria may be entering the bloodstream. And we want to know, too, that the skin inside our mouths is so thin. It's called epithelium, and it's only one cell thick. So it is thin. And that means that, like, you know, if you're flossing and you have bleeding gums, on one level, it's the mouth is quick to bleed, but it's also quick to heal because, again, you only have to sort of close up that one cell thickness. And so gum sealers, so using things like soothing serums with sea buckthorn, rosado, frankincense in things like ozonated gels, and sea buckthorn adds like a lipid soluble phytonutrient that helps to restore the gums. So using what I call alkalinizers, which is kind of a made up word, but that's things like baking soda, sea salt, magnesium. We can use all of those to brush our teeth. And they can nourish and switch on saliva. And again, I mean, if people know me or they go to our site, they know we create a whole line of oral care products. But I always like to tell people, especially if they're on our budget, if you just stop using the drugstore, I'm just, again, using that as a general term, but all that stuff, and you just got baking soda and sea salt, which is pennies, you will be far, 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 far better off just using sea salt and baking soda than using, you know, anything that's harmful. So that's really important for people to know. I mean, they can literally just change that today on very small budget. And then swishing. So, you know, doing swishing with coconut oil, going back to the ancient Ayurvedic tradition of oil pulling. So you can upgrade the coconut oil pulling. You can use things like MCT oil and essential oils. So adding like one drop of oregano or peppermint or a dental serum to your coconut oil. And then you're swishing that around. You can even open a capsule of probiotics and throw that in and then swishing that around for about 15 minutes and then spitting that out. I have seen teeth transform so much, like to just get like white, that dazzling white. And talking about whiteness, what we also don't know, especially with, again, I mean, our culture is so into the veneer, right? Whether it's our faces or it's all about just like the shiny, poreless skin and pearly white teeth. And it's just, it's all our focus is like, what are we going to do topically? But whiteness and really things like good skin come from within.
Absolutely.
So enamel is actually transparent, but gray, glassy teeth, which you can see on people that have really depleted diets without a lot of fat in them, the gray glassy teeth happens. And what's going on there is that the dentine, the core of the tooth, is not being nourished with the whitening fat-soluble vitamins of D3 and K2. So again, it's not like they're going to topically whiten your teeth, but from within, they're going to provide that nutrient that creates the opaque, like the whiteness that then is going to make the enamel show whiteness. Cause again, it's like a window. It's like a glass. And so, but of course teeth can be stained topically, especially, I know I'm sure a lot of your listeners are people that eat a lot of pigment rich foods like blueberries, spirulina, all that kind of stuff, or turmeric. And so, you can, again, if you use a dry brush, like I used, like to use a little round-headed electric brush, and you think of that as just polishing your teeth, and you're using baking soda with that. You could even use like one drop of a 3% hydrogen peroxide on your toothbrush, and then you just polish, and that's like gets it really good, like you've been to a hygienist if you're just focusing on that. And when you go to your natural hygienist, you can also ask for spraying. They can spray your teeth with a sea salt solution. And that's kind of like on a microscopic level, like sandblasting your, you know how they sandblast old buildings to make them, the bricks clean again. And so that kind of sandblast with a natural ingredient, your teeth, and the whiteness from that is really amazing. Because, you know, all the, a lot of the things on the market or overusing hydrogen peroxide can, you know, makes the enamel vulnerable. And that's really hard to reestablish. So you don't want to make your teeth whiter and whiter, which eventually, you know, will lead to a yellowness.
Because you're breaking down the enamel with those products?
Yeah, you're making it too porous and too vulnerable.
Right. Let me ask you a few questions about, so adding probiotics. So I don't know if you were done, but maybe let me just jump in. Reseeding, adding probiotics, do you feel that that works in the oral microbiome? And is there any particular ones that you have in your research have found would be better?
Yes. And that's perfect because that is the last stage, which is seeding. And so what we, you know, we want to now change our minds, and that a healthy mouth with bustling bacteria is actually what could keep the dentist away. So not the germ warfare theory of blasting all the bacteria, but allowing the population to thrive. So I like to think we, and because of our everything going on in our society, or that our grandmothers had antibiotics or our mothers did, so we have like less species, or maybe we had a cesarean birth, maybe we weren't breastfed, maybe we've been eating, you know, food without any ferments. Maybe we've had three courses of antibiotics in our lives. So all of those things make our microbes extinct. And we want to think about rebuilding our bacterial bank account from our guts and our mouths. And so prebiotics feed probiotics. So including things like chicory root, as a prebiotic that's rich in oligosaccharides, what that does is it gives a food to the probiotics. So it multiplies the effectiveness of any probiotics that you're taking. And the cool thing is there's research that that shows now that this all helps. So you want to be taking probiotics. I feel like everybody should be doing that these days, no matter what, and also including fermented foods, but we kind of need to catch up and we need to re-diversify. So, studies with lactobacilli, specifically, L. fermentum, L. plantarum, L. casei, L. reuteri, and L. rhamnosus, along with bifidobacterium, they've all been studied and they all show the ability to adhere to saliva and to inhibit the proliferation of oral pathogens and reduce cavity-causing bacteria and plaque.
Oh, wow.
So it's very helpful to take these things. So with that information, then, of course, researchers are looking for modes of delivery that can then increase the retention of probiotics in our mouths using things like lozenges. But, you know, we don't have to wait, and I'm sure it will be very expensive lozenges when they are made. But through daily diet, along with swishing and implanting, so if we swish with a probiotic capsule, that's going to help. It's going to increase the probiotic presence in our saliva. And literally just taking it and swallowing it, obviously it's the GI tract is connected to our mouths. And a neat study actually experimented with a mixture of probiotics. So after dental scaling and root planning, they do a thing. A study has been done with something called guided pocket recolonization, GPR for short. And what they did was they just, you know, added probiotics to the teeth after. And then that you can do that at home with probiotics. So we have a syringe that we have it, and you may be able to get it at a drugstore, but it's a blunt tipped syringe and it's kind of crooked like a, and so it's blunt, so it's not sharp. And you just add water, you know, add a probiotic to water and just in a little shot glass and then pull that up into the syringe. And then what you can do with the tip is you just gently, you're not piercing any skin, but you just take it right at the root line where the gum line where the gum and the teeth connect. And you just flush out in between the teeth and the guts with this solution. And that way you're getting probiotics into your gum line and into your mouth.
Mm, that's fabulous. And you can do that with the essential oils as well.
Yes. And you can do it with all of them. You can put some probiotics and some essential oils into that solution and you got a happy combination.
That's fabulous. So I'm going to have lots and lots of links for people to go to your website and follow your 8 steps, as well as you have a lot of videos on YouTube that I've found with your fabulous 8 steps. And so, I mean, we've covered all these fabulous bases, alkalizing the oral cavity with the baking soda, so swishing with that, and then, you know, swishing with probiotics. So we've covered all the topical. Is there any other reseeding? I mean, basically it's the probiotics, right?
Yeah. Inside the mouth and in the guts, you know, including fermented foods, feast on the fat soluble vitamins, because that all helps too. And then, you know, certain enzymes can help too, because they act like Pac-Man, some of them, and especially the proteolytic enzymes. And that can also help to clean up the plaque and then break down the biofilm barriers. And then, of course, supporting this all with vitamins and minerals. But also what we now know is that, you know, having a healthy gut and having healthy probiotics is that we're now understanding that our guts are making vitamins that we didn't think the body made, like K2 and vitamin C.
Right. Absolutely. It all comes back down to the gut. And
yeah,
I know, it's amazing. Tell me a little bit really quickly about the dry toothbrushing. I know it's part of your 8 steps. Why a dry toothbrush?
Well, you know, obviously with saliva, it's going to become moist, but it gives you a little bit more grip. And that's the main reason.
Oh, grip.
It just is a little more. Yeah, grip for that. The scrubbing okay. that you want to be doing. You know, if you think about, it's kind of like even when you're scrubbing your skin, it's like, if you have a lot of water, your scrub, like even if you just did a salt scrub on your body, it's going to be less scrubby. That's a very scientific term.
Perfect.
Yeah, which goes back to like taking care of the mouth, which is what kind of was the point of Dr. Hal Huggins' book that was like, why raise ugly kids? And it's just about like with proper nutrients, and things like eliminating mouth breathing, our faces grow differently and there's less crowding in our teeth. And one reason why we, you know, quote unquote, don't have room for wisdom teeth is because we're not getting the right nutrients during pregnancy and during that young period under 3, where we've got to get more nutrients to develop our adult teeth. Like, it's not just genetics.
Right.
But also, you know, there's genetics. We also pass down deficiencies as well.
Right. They can.
Yeah, so there's a whole bunch of stuff.
They can build up over the generations, either
for sure.
For the good or for the bad.
And there's also a whole other level, orthodontistry. But that also is showing, and I have an article and a chapter in my book, but it also creates a vertical growth in the mouth. I mean, in the whole face. So again, they've done showing with twins, and there was a 60 Minutes on YouTube from Australia, an Australian 60 Minutes that talks to an orthodontist and they go into it. It's fascinating. But there's another alternative, which is called orthotropics, which is another way to straighten the teeth that doesn't get into the issues with the braces. And braces also are, you know, they have the heavy metal, the nickel, which is one of the top carcinogenic metals, also causes issues with the gum line, receding gums later in life. So, and you can save a lot of money by doing actually the orthotropics route as well. So all of those things affect. And again, you know, there's a lot more malleability to our bodies and our mouths and our bones than I think, you know, I think we've been a bit rigid in our thinking for a few decades in that area.
Right. So yeah, and functional orthodontics is the other one. And that's the dentist that I interviewed. So yeah, there's definitely ways to go about it. And, you know, not pinning our growing mouths down with those braces is a big part. And then the fact that we can change for our whole lives, but kids are really growing, like you say. So we've got to think about the mouth breathing and the orthodontia. And so, oh, it's just such a huge area, the mouth. It's just so important to the rest of the body and the health. And there's so much to it. But I am so grateful you've really made this simple. And I will, like I said, send people to your website, which is livinglibations.com. And check out all of Nadine's fabulous videos, and all of her products are amazing. And I think I heard in one of your interviews that there is not one single inactive ingredient in your products. They're all active.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So we don't have like active ingredients and then the others written in small. They're all a beautiful harmony. And yeah, I'm kind of hardcore about that for my own life and for what I want to share with people, you know, just really celebrating all the beautiful ingredients we have. And really a simple combination of botanicals can be such a beautiful thing. And we don't need fillers and synthetics to, you know, to create beautiful skin and healthy mouths.
Nadine, this has been absolutely wonderful. I'm so honored and it's been so informative. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for waking up early.
Absolutely. It's been an absolute pleasure. I look forward to being in touch with you and chatting with you more. I did have a lot more questions, but maybe we can do this again.
For sure. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Bye, Nadine.
Bye.
Okay, guys, that was Nadine Artemis. Please be sure to go on over to her website at livinglibations.com. And for a 5% discount on all of her products, use the coupon code KATANIA5. That's KATANIA and the number 5 at the end. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I'll see you next time.